many things happened at the Mana Kindergarten. A wonderful year passed, and the next academic year, starting in April, please continue to pray for the children. There are many prayers in the Bible. Today I want you to open the third book of John, verse 2. The New Testament, third book of John, verse 2. Please let me read. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. The third book of John is a very short letter. It has only 15 verses, and there is this prayer. And this letter was written to a man named Gaius from John. Let me read the verse 1. It says, "The elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth." John, who is the elder, wrote a letter to this man, and John was praying for his health. So John prayed for Gaius. Yesterday we had a graduation ceremony for Mana Kindergarten, and tomorrow we will have a graduation ceremony for Morino Gakuen School. And today is Mana Day. So the passage we just read earlier can be used as a prayer for our children as well. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. Yesterday, at the graduation ceremony, as usual, the diploma is given to each graduating kindergarten student. Each diploma was tailored to each graduate. It was a very touching ceremony because Mana teachers loved these children. So the diploma was almost like a letter of love to each children. We, you know, as Christians, to pray to other people and for their health. And we often pray for other people's health, but what does it mean to be healthy? I would like to think about that. According to the WHO, World Health Organization, health is a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. So the health is more than just the absence of disease. And to be healthy, you need to be well in terms of these aspects. So when we think about this, the well-being from a biblical perspective, we can find more meanings in that. We often say, you know, o genki desu ka, to try to find out other people's health. In Israel, they use the word shalom, which is in Hebrew, and which often is translated as peace. But it's more than just peace. You know, not absence of a war and conflict. The word shalom has more meanings, more positive meanings. According to a biblical dictionary, the word shalom has a meaning such as prosperity, health, happiness, and safety also. So peace is more than just having no problems. It is related to relationships. When we have good relationships with others, we have peace. So prosperity, happiness, health, safety, these can be assured when you have good relationships with other people. In the Bible, peace and health means a relationship with other people, a relationship with other countries. And those relationships need to be based upon our relationship with God. when we say peace, that peace is restored when we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, who is called the Prince of Peace. So when we restore our relationship with God through Jesus Christ, we have peace. So it's not something that is accomplished by human efforts, but it is accomplished through Jesus Christ. When we gather in the name of Jesus, when we build relationship in the name of Jesus, then we have a church which is a location of peace. When we have relationship, fellowship with other people in our church, there is peace there, and there is health. From the age of the New Testament, people gathered together who wanted to increase peace. In the New Testament period, they did not necessarily have a building what we imagine as to be a church. But they did have a community. It started with the disciples of Jesus Christ, and this community consisted of people who confessed their faith in Jesus Christ, who was crucified. They did not necessarily have a building, but there was a community who believed in Jesus and who were telling other people about Jesus Christ. So it was a community of people. They may not have had a building yet, but through their service to others and through their faith, they had a church. So that's how a Christian church, started in the New Testament period. The church exists for other people. The church is a real church when it exists for other people, some theologians say. The church is a gathering of people. It is based on relationship between people, and the church produces peace. The church is not supposed to seek profit in this world, but at the same time, the church is not supposed to run away from this world. Church is based on relationship with Jesus Christ and with other people. And one of the things we do in a church is a prayer. And that prayer exists because we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We are supposed to pray for not just the weak in this world, but also leaders in the world, according to the Bible. If you look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, it says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. When there is a war or conflict, when there is a natural disaster, and there are all kinds of social problems, and in that, people's lives are threatened, and then we as a church need to pray. But we pray, in addition to our prayer, we try to serve other people. We serve each other in our church, and we serve other people in our community and outside our church as well. We need to address social problems and environmental problems, and we need to say things when things happen that goes against the teaching of Jesus Christ. We need to continue to have a relationship with the world because we know the love and salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. We can bring peace to the world. So we are supposed to know the love of God. And John, of course, knew the love of God. If you look at first book of John, chapter 4, verse 16, it says, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Because John knew love, which comes from God. He talked about love in today's passage as well. Again, let's look at today's passage. The elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. John, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, saw Jesus, and he called himself a beloved disciple of Jesus. He knew the love of Jesus Christ. He grew with the love of Jesus Christ, and he witnessed about the love of Jesus Christ. We grow because we have received love, and that's built. Then love that is something that we need when we have very healthy personality. Just like children in the Manna Kindergarten, people who are loved very much by others can love many other people as well. When we know as Christians about love through Jesus Christ and through our relationship with other people, we can grow. We mature so that we can love other people. If you look at the book of John, chapter 13, verse 34, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Jesus washed the feet of John. We need to love others. We need to build a relationship of love with other people. And we need to care for each other's health. That's what Jesus Christ taught us. That's the love comes from Jesus. Jesus Christ is love. He brings peace. He gives us peace. If you look at the book of John, chapter 8, verses 31 through 32, it says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The relationship Jesus gives us is not based on control. It's a relationship that brings freedom. It's a relationship of freedom. When you believe in Jesus, you may think that there are certain things as a Christian you're not supposed to do. But it's not that. When you have believe in Jesus, you will become free. There are things you're supposed to do when you join a church and you think that will bring, limit your freedom. No, the church gives you freedom. To live as a Christian is to live free. The church is supposed to bring freedom to the world. In fact, Jesus Christ, through healing of people's diseases, brought freedom to many people. And by forgiving sins and having your life free from desires and sinful sins, you can have more a humane love, filled with freedom. When we stay in Jesus, we have a real relationship with God. We have a free relationship with Him. We have a free relationship with other people. And we can live free in the environment God gives us. And because we have such freedom, we can serve other people. And we can, which means we can pray for other people. We can serve other people. Jesus said, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. So he is our model. We can serve other people with love. If you look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. The church is a real church when it serves other people. So we have a responsibility when we gather together as a church. We have restored our relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and we have become free. Now, then, how are we supposed to live? We need to serve others with love. We need to tell other people about Jesus. And we need to regain our health that is given by God. We need to help those people who are in sin, who are controlled by bad spirits, people who have selfish lives. We need to help restore these people's lives. By doing that, we can create peace, shalom, in this world. Peace is based on freedom. When our lives are protected, when we are not suppressed. So it's important that we work for the peace. If we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, it says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not vain. So the work we do for others is not in vain. When I attended yesterday's Mana kindergarten graduation, I remembered that all the time in which the children grew up so healthy. They were living as real human beings. They had good, healthy lives because they were loved, and they were loving each other. When we are treated as if that we have value, we have each unique personality and rights that is given by God, and when we choose our lives as your own, not controlled by your parents, not controlled by others, not controlled by the state, when we have our freedom, personality, and rights protected as God desired. So when we have and not isolated and have good positive relationship with other people and respect each other, and that's when we have health. So our relationship with others is important, and the fact that we help each other is important. You know, a very famous Japanese doctor named Dr. Hinohara, he called adult disease lifestyle disease, and that's a contribution he made to the medical community in Japan. Nowadays, this lifestyle disease is blamed on individuals themselves. And that's what some people are saying. If you look at Japanese Constitution, Article 25, it says, all people shall have the right to maintain the minimum standards of wholesome and cultured living. So we have a right to live wholesome and cultured living. So the state has this responsibility. But if we look at, for example, the Japanese Health Promotion Act, It says citizens should deepen their interest in an understanding of the importance of a healthy lifestyle, be aware of their own health condition throughout their lives, and strive to improve their health. So now it sounds like it is the responsibility on the part of citizens to be healthy. So the lifestyle disease is, but when you think about it, you know, they're actually, you know, our lifestyle is made worse by a very stressful life that is forced upon us from society. So the lifestyle disease concept is now being used by, for example, the industries say that, you know, each individual is responsible if he or she is having a bad health. But health is something that is created in society and based on relationship with other people, and something that, and we as Christians need to work on as well. I just feel that it's kind of difficult in today for to live. Oftentimes everything is blamed on the individual, but something that what we need to do is, as a society, need to help other people. And poverty is also produced not because of just by individuals, but also because of the type of structure that we have in society. You know, some people are in complete isolation, but it's not just because of that person's responsibility, but also it's society's responsibility as well. The new coronavirus has led to an increase in epidemiology, but now, but people have become more isolated during this epidemic. But anyway, health is something that is not just created by individuals, but by through society, and something that we as a church can help build as well, based on our relationship with our with God, and based on. So we need to be care for other people's health in our church. Through faith, we can be health. If you look at Mark chapter 5, verse 34, he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." So through faith, this woman was given health. So it's important for our church to help people in this church and people outside of church. I've noticed one article that I found on the internet. There is a chain restaurant that it started from, was founded in Saitama. It was this, the restaurant is named Gyoza no Manchu. It was started in 1964, and there is no restaurant in Ibaraki, but it's a national chain. There was, 20 years ago, this restaurant changed and had found a new direction. The second owner of this restaurant, because it's a Chinese restaurant, this person had a very high blood pressure, and his father, who was the founder, also had high blood pressure. When the doctor asked this second owner, you know, "What do you eat every day?" He said, "I eat ramen and gyoza every day." And the doctor told him, "If you're going to eat this, it's not good to eat ramen gyoza every day." And he was shocked. He was shocked because that the type of food that he serves in his restaurant is making people unhealthy. So then he decided to revise the menu in his restaurant. He replaced the pork bones and pig's feet in the ramen broth with chicken bones and niboshi and vegetables. Fried rice was also stopped using lard and vegetable oil, and started using vegetable oil and brown rice in the mix. After many improvements, the soup has become thicker by using a pressure cooker, and the fried has become crispy, savory, and now this restaurant is very popular, and health is one important value that this restaurant places. So this restaurant is being changed according to the value of health. Now they have 100 restaurants in Japan. They're looking at the prosperity of their restaurant in a long-term basis, and so they're now looking for a short-term profits, but long-term by focusing on health. The second owner talked about just like in order for a sports team to be successful, it takes a long time. This restaurant needs a long-term view, and as long as you do the right things on a long-term basis, the customer will come. So health is something that this chain restaurant focuses on. So this article made me think deeply about the meaning of health. So we as a church need to be a type of church that produces peace, health. If you look at today's passage one more time, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. The church should be what makes us want to cherish the value of health. So Jesus Christ brings us health, peace. A church that is based in the church, a church that supports the community and supported by the community. So we as a church need to continue to be, to care for the health of the church members and the community. Let me pray.